chapter 5 tonight. Hebrews chapter 5.
Did listen to some good things today. Listen to the now former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Some of the neat things that you didn't hear people cover in media, things that went on, especially in the Middle East, was really interesting. Just stuff that was just really good. Like, man, it's just a blessing. And it was good to hear his replacement saying that. Is that one of the first time? It was almost, you know, I had to like, wait, go back and listen to it again. You know, the president was right about China. The president was right to be strong against them. He's like, I don't know if I'd have done it how he did it or all those things, but his attitude towards them was right. I was like, oh man, praise the Lord. Hopefully some of these things will, you know, it's that mindset on some of these foreign policy issues, and especially how we're going to treat Israel going forward, because a lot of people think, you know, it's just going to be that Obama reset, you know, and just problems, just problems, problems and problems, you know, especially in the Middle East. And you have to be honest and look at it and say, boy, it's been good with what they've done. It's been good. It's been very good. So we're going to read all 14 verses and then go back and go through them in these next three chapters. Chapter 6 in Hebrews is probably It is just a minefield. I mean, you get in there and some people are like, well, this is where we lose our salvation, preacher, right here. This is where you can show it. That's where people, and it's true, it's where people grab it is from there. It's not in there. That's why you got to read the whole thing. You got to read it in context of the book, of the chapter, and of the Word of God. Otherwise, you can get sidetracked. And it's one of the reasons why I want to go through Hebrews, because there's not a whole lot of other places where you, I mean, most of the other places are dispensational things, where Jesus is talking real day, and then he's talking about tribulation time, right? And people don't see the break, and then they take it to be this, and they don't see that it's supposed to be, it's speaking of another time. It's not right now, you know? When he talks about, you know, fleeing from the housetop, and don't go back and get your coat, and all these different things that are going to happen, speaking to the Jews, and people look at it, and they get out of context, and they don't know where it fits. So you have to read these things in context. But tonight, great stuff here in chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God." Father, we ask that you'd help us tonight. Show us clearly from your word tonight. We pray that you lift hearts tonight, Lord. And we ask that you do a work. And we'll surely thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The context of high priest goes back to chapter 4, and we see it in verse number 14. "Seeing then we have a great high priest." And notice how in verse 5 it says, "For every high priest," right? So you have great high priest and high priest. And I don't think the adjectives are just thrown around in the Word of God because they needed words to throw in there, right? So in verse 14 it says, "That is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God." So when talking about great high priest, it's talking about the Lord Jesus. Now verse number 1 of chapter 5, it says, "Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Notice not themselves. Like Jesus could offer himself. They just offer the sacrifices. Verse 2, "Who can have these same ones that are taken to do these things?" Verse 2, "Who can have compassion on who? The ignorant," right? I'm pretty sure I laugh when I read these. "God, have compassion," right? People don't know, or they get all spun up, and get it mixed up. You know, they're all mixed up, and they just don't know. You know, they do have care and concern, and they're genuinely trying, but they're just ignorant. And you're trying to help them in the way of the scriptures, but having compassion is huge. "But these, they have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way." Have you ever heard one of the worst things about Baptists is we kill our wounded. If you've ever heard that before, it's true. Some people, they get somebody that's hurt, and it's just like, well, they couldn't hack being a Christian, or they can't hack doing this or hack doing that, and it's not good. You got to bind them up. You got to take the bomb. That's where Christianity really works, because you want it just to be. I mean, it bugs you that they bug you, right? I mean, you're like, why can't you just be perfect? Why can't you just have your life in order? Why can't you just be normal? Why can't you just not be weird? Why could it be easy, right? And Jesus had all these disciples. I can't imagine the quirks these disciples had. And Peter always smelled like fish. I mean, he just tried to go to sleep at night. You're tired. You lay down. You're like, and you smell Peter. I mean, I guarantee you can smell him. You know, and it's just like all these things about these guys, right? And you had John snuggling up to you all the time. You know, you're like, get away from each other. All these things, right? They're quirky dudes. All of them, right? They said, we gotta help them, right? Some of them out of the way. Peter, shut up, get back in the way, helping people. And that it's part of the job. It's part of what is asked for here. The Bible says, for he, in verse number 2, helping those that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Is this one that's the priest any better than the people he's helping? No, absolutely not. The problem is verse 1, ordained from among men. God says, I want you. But I didn't want to do this for nothing. You wouldn't have, back when I was, whenever. You're going to be doing this one. Oh, no, I'm not. There's no way. I'll be playing football or fishing. That's what I'm going to be doing. You know, and Grandpa's like, well, that would be good. Either way, that'd be good. But God said, hey, not out fishing. Just, I mean, I remember I had 15 horse on. I'm sitting on the back of this boat. And God's like, I don't care. Sunland Estates, I'm on the Columbia River. I have to go back and look up the mile marker. I forget now. But forgive the name, but there was a draw out on the Umtanum Hills that come down, and the creek's name was Whiskey Dick Creek, and it was named after an old miner trapper guy that was used to live back in there, whatever, 100 years ago. And I just remember, I can't remember, it was either a Friday or a Saturday. I know it was close to the weekend. And we were pulling lines, and it was calm, it was hot, and I don't care how many fish you catch. I just don't care, right? Because that was what I was doing. I mean, that was like, now we got to catch these fish, we got to do this, that was my job, and I don't care how many fish you catch. So when you stand before me, what are you going to have to say for your life? All right, well, we better, and it just started this, like, stirring inside. I'd come home and tell Mrs. Garner, and like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be working at I'm supposed to be teaching school, and I come home, I don't know. I was like, you know what? Working at Costco would be awesome. It's like, I'd love to cut meat. I said, I'll go to Costco. I'll cut meat and grind hamburger. I'll be that guy just grinding hamburger the rest of my life. I'd be as happy as could be, And instead of looking up and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? You look around at all your interests. Miserable, or does it help you out? No, you just stay miserable. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. I remember getting done with all my benefit stuff, and you get all that stuff set up, and you think like, wow, I just got to do this for like the next 35 years, and that's all life is going to be. And I mean, I was saved, and I knew all those things, but it's like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? At that point, I'd always done what I'd wanted to do. God's like, right? And some of us are like, get the hand off me, right? Get over here. I want to use you, right? Hey, some days, right? You talk about having compassion. I'm not calling any of you all the ignorant, but I've dealt with a few. I've dealt with a few. Then I've dealt with a few that were out of the way. And it's just like, you just want to beat them and drag them in, right? I mean, you just want to, and you know what they need, and they don't want it, and you got to love them anyways. You're like, Lord, this is like the worst spot. Hey, peacemaker, it's like you're doing the job I want you to do. But at the end of verse 2, we also see that these people themselves are compassed about with infirmity. Preachers need prayer, and preachers need to be, it's not self-serving thing, but just saying they need prayer. They get down sometimes. And I'll call guys sometimes, they'll say, hey, how you doing? Oh, they're like, oh, man. Come on, preacher. Come on.
Y'all right, you got your Bible. You've been reading your Bible, haven't you, preacher? Right? You've been praying, haven't you, preacher? Right? And you got to encourage them. You got to get them going again. But boy, the infirmities, they're there. They're real. Verse 3 says, by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. He's not a perfect person. He's not a sinless person. He's not a person that's somewhere between men and angels, you know, in this made up region, right? He's not. Somebody asked of God to do the work of God. Verse 4, no man taketh this honor unto himself. Now, the Bible says you desire the office of a bishop. He said, that's wonderful. But I would never try to do a godly thing without God helping me to do it. I mean, never try to like force that thing. And people do. People do. Us all tried. Different people have tried. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing. And then on the flip side, I was Miss Gar and I were cleaning here last weekend and we're going through the freezer. Every once in a while, I'll check to see if the ice thing's up or down. Because you open the freezer sometimes and there's ice in the bottom and there's water on the floor. And like, how'd that happen? I was like, well, the ice cubes are flowing over. So I'll get in there and check. And I'm going through and I better clean this out while I'm at it, right? So there's like a couple of ice cream things left over. Now, when I was in, I was in college. I was working with my brother-in-law, Mrs. Garner's younger brother. We're building fence, and we were tired. We worked all day. We built fence, and we'd come back to the house, and my in-laws were gone, so there's nobody to make. My mother-in-law is awesome. She used to make dinner for us, and I mean, when you're hungry and you're a guy, it's terrible choosing food because you'll eat the house. You'll eat anything. You'll eat wood. You'll eat like it just doesn't matter. You just like put ketchup on it. You eat anything, right? So we're I find this like half gallon of dehydrated ice cream. And that's probably like a quarter gallon now, you know. But it's unopened. It's unopened, Brother Jesse. It's like, it don't matter, man. That seals good, right? You open it up. It's got the crystal-y stuff on top. I'm like, man, that's going in the milkshake, you know, with about, you know, three humongous peaches and everything else. Oh, mercy. I open that. I open the freezer downstairs and there's a couple of ice creams like that down here. That opened, reminded me of that. I was like, oh, I'm not having that. I'm going to throw it away. But I thought to myself, I was like, David eating the what? What did David eat? David ate the showbread. God didn't strike him dead, did he? Why? David was hungry, man. Right? Totally different than Saul saying, I'm going to offer the sacrifice. I'm going to jerk God's chain. And I'm going to, right? You don't just go and do those things. You don't do it. The Bible says, no man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Was Aaron minding his own business, being Aaron, being Moses' brother? I think he was. You know, it didn't say he was out practicing being priestly or anything like that before God got a hold of him and God got a hold of Moses. So also Christ, verse 5, right? It's a picture. Glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Right? Because this got to line up with Philippians 2, right? The Bible says he made of himself no account, put on no reputation. He became a servant. He didn't come into the world saying, look at me. Look at me. He did not do that. The Bible says, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Who says this? The Father, right? The Father says this. Not Jesus saying it of himself, but the Father. So Christ didn't do it. We're not to do it. Verse 6, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We will look into the name and look into studying Melchizedek more in chapter number 7. We go back to Abraham, first offering tithes after he destroys the kings and he gets Lot and his family back and he pays tithes to the to Melchizedek. His name is also translated King of Salem. Salem means perfect, like righteously, the righteously mature, where the Bible says be perfect. Also means King of Righteousness, King of Righteousness. But we won't talk much more about that. We'll really study that here in chapter 7. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son,
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. One of the hardest lessons is teaching kids, like, look, I care about you. That's why I'm talking to you this way. And you know the way. That's why we're having this talk, because I care. No, you don't. You're mad at me. That's not untrue. That might be a little bit true. I might be a little bit mad. I might be a little upset even. But I love you, and that's why. And I said, when you get older, you'll understand. So you'll have friends, and they'll say, man, I wish, you know. They'll be like, nobody ever tells me no. Nobody ever tells me to stop. Nobody ever tells me that I'm wrong. And people, it sounds so crazy, but they wish they did. And it's crazy. I wish I had somebody cared about me. And the Father cared about the Son. He's the one here in verse 8. Verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, just like verse number 4 says, he that is called of God, as was Aaron, okay, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And again, it's an interesting study. The Bible talks about him. No father, no mother, just like no beginning. No, I mean, he describes the Lord Jesus when you look at Melchizedek, but he's like it's a physical appearance and a physical being in Genesis. So there, it's just an interesting study. But anyways, verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say. Okay, speaking of Christ and to speak of these things. And hard to be uttered, right? Anybody that tells you, oh yeah, I understand the Bible perfectly. Mark them. Mark them down. I'll help you. I'm not saying you can't explain the gospel. I mean, you can tell the story. Jesus wants us to. He wants us to tell about him. But you start going into the whys, and you'll spin it. Why would Jesus care about us? Why? And many people have asked that question. And David asked that question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why? Oh, it's easy. No, it's not. Hard to be uttered, the Bible says, verse number 11. Seeing, and then look at the problem. Seeing that ye are, right? There's some ignorant. They're out of the way. The Bible says they're dull of hearing. Well, let's need hearing aids, right? You change your batteries out. And you're good to go. No. They don't work. They hear. They can hear. They just don't want to listen, right? They don't want to listen to the things that are needed, the things that they need to help them. And that is the fine line. You're helping these people. Now, you can yell at them, right? You can yell at them. I yell a lot in the fall because the kids are like far away, so you got to yell at them, right? They're clear across the field. Whispers don't cut it. Mrs. Garner, when we were... This was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I think it was Nolan's third year of basketball. And he had like a ninth grade girl from high school coach him 1 year all winter long. And I just like, Brother Harvey, I was like, you know, like I can't handle it. Right? She's short to boot. She's quiet, you know. I'm like, these are meat-headed boys. Meat-headed boys need a ruler. Like they need, and a ruler. They need help, you know. And my wife's like, oh, we really want to coach them, you know. And I said, okay, great. I will help you, right? So it started out, okay, guys. And they're not paying attention, Boop. Right here. This is what we're doing, you know. And we get in line and we're doing this. Don't always want to hear, but hey, you have to do it. You got to get them going. Have to do it. And here you have people, they're out of the way. They're out of God's way. Save people or lost people. They're out there. They're the lost people, right? And you're helping them. I just got to kindly remind them. I got to kindly tell them, one, that I care about them, right? That's the message they got to say. I care about you. God cares about you, right? Some people you tell them, well, God cares about you. You may as well be telling them the one of these Arab sheiks princes over there cares about me. Like, who's that again? Like, I don't know him either. It doesn't matter to me. But you're right in front of their face. So when you say, I care about you, like the decisions you make matter to me. I care about you. And you go down as like on this little tiny list, somebody that actually cares about this person. It's important. It's huge.
But the Bible says here, this other dull appearing, verse 11, verse 12, for when the time you ought to be, that's a big difference, huh? Isn't it interesting how little teaching somebody actually needs to turn around and teach somebody else something? I don't know if you've ever taught somebody. I know in the school, in the grade school and the middle school, once kids master a certain whatever it is, lesson, a topic or something, and teacher's busy, right? And they have aides in the classroom that help them. But if they have one of the students has, you know, mastery of not the whole subject, all stuff, but this concept, and say, hey, I want you to help so and so. Who gets the most help once you start teaching something? Anybody that's taught, who gets the help? The students or the teacher? Isn't it weird? That's crazy. The teacher gets the help. Oh, what's all these people? No, you get some help. One, you have to study for it, and as you teach it, you understand it better than when you heard it and understood it the first time. And that's why it's so important to go from being a hearer to being a teacher. It's like, well, I don't want to be a school teacher. It's not what it's talking about. What are we going to teach them? The ways of the Lord. We're going to teach them the ways of the Lord. It's like, well, I don't know. That sounds like I have a lot of responsibility. You have to have no position to do that. God would just help you to do it. You've been taught some things. You've learned about Christ. You received Christ your Savior. Now you're going to teach it to somebody else. And I used to say, teachers have something, and they, in their, I just called it a basket, they bring it in, and they're putting it into empty baskets that the students bring in. I mean, that's the goal. And I just remember, man, I love teaching math. I liked the algebra stuff, everything. It was just like a trap. I mean, it was just, there was not the bad kind of trap, but, you know, you couldn't get it wrong, even though people got it wrong all the time. That's like, you couldn't miss it. I was like, you got your knowns and your unknowns. I think you got to start with what you know and work on what you don't know. Nobody else is excited about this. You know, I was like, you got to get excited about this. Like, what do you know? That explains a lot. You don't know much. Right? And I would write it again. I would write it this way. I would change colors between steps until they could get it. And it didn't matter what it was. Once they got it, you were just like, yes, this is wonderful. Now we can move on. Yeah, wonderful, right? Teachers. Bible says ye ought to be teachers. Oh, Brother Keith, there's a spot called my chair. And that's where I sit, my chair, right? But, you know, it's been fun the last few weeks. People sitting in Brother Rich's spot. People sitting in somebody else's spot. It's my entertainment. I gotta look at y'all. So I'm like, where are they gonna sit, right? And I play my own game up here. I got $3 on the back row on the left. I got 50 cents on the middle in the, you know, the Frasers pulled the middle on Sunday. I saw you, brother. I paid. Pray for Brother Tom and Miss Carmen. They're not in their spot, you know. And somebody's got Miss Carmen's blanket. Bless God. There's gonna be a. I know we want visitors. This has been getting out of control. Out of control. And, oh, man. Everybody knows they're supposed to sit right there, you know. And, oh, man. If I had to laugh when Luke kept that guitar over, man, I was just like, oh, my soul. Try preaching through that. It's a lot of fun. But, we come in and we think, "What? This is my spot." But where's your real spot in Christianity? Are we bumping up? Have we learned the concept enough that we could teach it to somebody else? I'm not talking about any formal stuff or whatever. But you're working on people. You're helping them. And if they're not your neighbor, maybe it ends up being your kids, your grandkids. You need to teach them. I mean, Jesus said, "Hey, if we can do it with these ignorant men, right? You can just spend time, love somebody, spend time with them. Yes, they're ignorant. Yes, they're going to be out of the way. Yes, yes, yes. But we got to eventually teach them because they're going to need to be teachers down the road as well. Ye have need that one teach you, verse 12 says, again. Right? You got to have somebody teach you again. We got to learn it again. Learn it again.
which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I feel bad for kids. They got like eating disorders and stuff, right? And they're scrawny, they're small, they're just like, you know, just like, man, life. All the darn kids are like fat kids. I mean, they're just like, they just ate food, right? You're just like throwing food at them, you know? And it's like, there was no issues like that at our house. And then there wasn't, you know, not naming any of my sister-in-laws. I got sister-in-laws. And, oh, they can only have this. They can only have this. They turn their back, and here's grandma shoving ice cream in their face. You know, it's like, it just food, you know? And it's like, oh, that's good, you know? And moving on to food. And I just, you know, Mrs. Garner likes steak. Every so often we'll have some nice steak from Costco or something. And my kid's like, oh, no, yeah. I'm like, come on. Oh, you deserve to starve if you're turning your nose over this. You get out of here. You're not related to us no more. But you start out with the easy stuff, then you move on. I'm not saying everybody's got to have, you know, you got things you like and things you don't like, but you need to move on. You need to grow and not have to learn those things again. And not have to go back to the basics again. The desire should be to grow. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And the Greek and the Hebrew says baby, right? There's an E there, right? I mean, a young one in the faith, right? They're going to see crazy stuff. They're gonna ask crazy questions and say, well, how does this work and why? And I thought because if I sinned again, then I wasn't saved. And you're going to like, no. And it just feels all these things, right? They've never grown. And when you see, and Mrs. Garner, bless her heart, she works with some kids that are just, they're four, but they're like 6 months. Because somebody left them in a crib and never talked to them. Never did anything with them. Never did. And she'd be in jail for strangling some parents. I mean, just like, it's just tough. It's tough. You seek in, they're just developed. They're just, and it's not that even that they were born, just neglected, right? Then you have some, they're born with disability. And you're like, that's, when things are stunted, it's weird. It's strange. And I'm not talking about like they shouldn't be. I'm just saying, you look at it, it's like, something's not right here. What's not right? Man, we're putting the fuel to it. We're putting the fertilizer, the food, whatever it is to make it grow, and it's not. What is it? And that shouldn't be in our Christian life. We should desire to grow in Christ. We should. The B teachers, the Bible says, unskillful. Unskillful. Now, I don't claim to be smart, but after doing this for a few years, I should learn a few things, right? And I'm talking either School of Hard Knocks or somebody helps you out. However, in the middle, however, you should learn a few things and understand some things, right? That Christianity is not always going to be up here. Sometimes it is down here. But God wants us to be just, He wants us to be understand those things. To say, oh, I thought life was going to be perfect. No. We start to grow and we learn. And we can help teach others also. 14 says, strong meat. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual maturity, perfection, full age. Let's talk about it. That's what you're shooting for. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I want my kids to be. Now, it's what you want them to be. Doesn't mean that's what they want to be. And I get it. I'm just like, hey, you know, this is what we're shooting for. This is what mom and dad want. This is what we would really, not trying to plan your life. Man, I got a couple that are just, you just want us to be. No, I don't. I just don't want to visit you. No, I'm just kidding. I visited you there too. But I was like, no, we don't. We want you to be right. We want you to help you. You got to teach. And teaching and parenting is this like, crazy blend, right? I mean, you're like, they're your kids, and sometimes you're easy with other people's kids. You're like, you're great, and then you got no grace with your own kid, and also, and sometimes you got too much grace with your own kid, and also, it's got this, God helps you with these things, right? But we have to teach.
We have to grow. Chapter 5 tells us we have to grow. In the context of this, when we go into chapter 6, I want you to hang on to that and remember. And if you want to do a little reading this week and look into 6 and say, whoa, I shouldn't have, you know, or whatever, you get into 6 and read, you remember this context, you want you to grow. Things that grow produce things. First mention, super important in the Bible. When we talk about plants growing and producing fruit, that's godly. That's godly stuff. When we talk about thorns and briars and thistles and hedges, these are ungodly things. And that's one of the good comparisons when we get to chapter 6 that's going to help us. It's going to help us next week. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that we have it as an anchor, Lord, in these turbulent days that we live in, Lord. Father, we've turned truth and just even getting the truth out now is just a challenge. It's a challenge, Father. And I'm so thankful for people that want to hear it. And I'm thankful that there are people that are crying very loudly, Father, for the truth to be out and to be put out, that people could choose what they want to believe. They could choose Christ. They could choose not to believe Christ. But, Lord, we could put the truth out there for people and not be told what to say or that we can't speak at all. We love you. We thank you for your word. Ask you to bless our prayer time tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.